I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. The San Luis Obispo Symphony season finale concert is this weekend, and the search is wrapping up for the symphony's new music director. The fifth conductor of five will be auditioning for the position. Conductor Ray Hotoda is with me, along with David Hamilton, who is the president-elect of the symphony's board and the head of the search committee. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
David, this is it.
This is it.
You've come to the last audition, and it's been a really exciting process.
Yeah, it really has.
I bet it's a relief to have it nearly done, though, even though it's been a wonderful process.
Yeah, that is equally true.
You started with over 130 candidates,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
You're down to five. How are you feeling about how things are going?
Actually, really quite well. I think so far we've done a really good job of exposing the orchestra to different types of conductors with different visions, culminating, of course, with Ms. Toda. And so we're really pleased so far. I think maybe actually the tough part might be still ahead of us.
Yeah, the decision-making. Mm-hmm. Ray Hotoda, you studied at Peabody and Eastman.
Yes.
And you have guest conducted some of the finest orchestras in the U.S.
Luckily so, yes. It's been an incredible journey. And actually went to USC in Southern California for my doctorate in piano performance. And then it was later that I went into conducting.
And so what is it that attracted you to conducting?
Well, I always say 88 keys was not enough sound for me. And I needed, you know, over 50 musicians, 50 to 100 musicians on stage to really feel like I'm in the music. But it's been an interesting journey for me as a musician, as an artist, to start off being an accomplished pianist and then to explore the world of conducting. And I felt that this is definitely my calling. And as a conductor, it's been fantastic to be able to work with the finest musicians in the country, conducting the Utah Symphony right now. I'm the associate conductor there. And now I'm really eager to spread my wings as a music director.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. You've conducted Baltimore, Chicago, Dallas, St. Louis, and now with Utah. What makes you want to come to the San Luis Obispo Symphony?
Well, first of all, the natural beauty here. I mean, who would not love to wake up to 80-degree, perfect, gorgeous weather on the beach every morning? That would be me. And I just think that this orchestra has a wonderful history. You know, they've been to Carnegie Hall, they've toured. So I'd like to be a part of that. And this is an incredible time for the orchestra, I think, you know, with the new executive director that they just hired and hiring a new music director, I think is an exciting road. The community itself really embraces the culture and the arts. And I think that's so important nowadays to really have the support of the community. And I love seeing that.
You've been meeting a lot of people so far, and David, you've been introducing Ray to a lot of people since she's been here. And Ray, how do you get to know a community when you go and conduct their orchestra?
Well, first of all, it's relationship building, you know, so I get to know the person. I mean, how long they've lived here, what kinds of roots that they have here, and interests. You know, some of these board members are musicians, and I love hearing about their passion, about what they bring to the orchestra. And that way I understand what's important to them and what are the factors that will help succeed the orchestra into the next level or the next step, and how to make it stronger.
A huge portion of what the San Luis Obispo Symphony does is education. You have your youth orchestras and the children's concerts and the music van and music in the schools and so much more outreach. What is your vision for the symphony's education program?
Oh, I think what they're doing so far is phenomenal, actually. And a lot of orchestras are struggling to do what you are, you know, actually implementing and all the programs that are happening right now. The vision is really to see how we can make that better. You know, I have to get to know the organization more to see maybe where we can go further, whether it's, you know, to do more concerts or to do a side-by-side. I'd love to see that, where members of the symphony are mentoring the younger players, the high school players. And I've done that with the Utah Symphony and other organizations, where we have a week of rehearsals with the kids, and we can mentor them with a concert as a goal.
David Hamilton, talk about what the music director will do outside of conducting the orchestra.
Well, obviously, the music director will be responsible in many ways for creating the future, the vision of the organization. Where do we want to go? What do we want to accomplish musically? What is our path? And how do we want to exceed the past and move into the future? Another thing that obviously would be involved with the community, assisting with fundraising to a certain degree, assisting with the music education and the youth symphony, and being the face and leader of the organization in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm. And Ray, in your experience, what is the relationship between the music director and the executive director or the board?
It's a very important role that the music director have a good relationship, an open communication, trusting relationship with the executive director and the board, not only to help support the artistic vision of the orchestra, which I would do, but also to be a bridge between the musicians and the board and to say, you know, this is where the orchestra is going. Now, can you help us support us with these ideas and these programs and these long-term goals?
What do you think that you might bring to the San Luis Obispo Symphony that others might not?
Because I'm a musician, I am a conductor that really not empathizes with musicians, but know what it takes to be a musician. I know how difficult it is to practice. I know how I have a family, too. You know, I know how important that is. And to balance all those things and to get up on the stage and pour your heart out in the music. So I feel that as that kind of a conductor, I'm more collaborative.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with Ray Hotoda, who is a music director candidate and conductor for the San Luis Obispo Symphony, and also David Hamilton, who's the board president-elect and head of the search committee for the San Luis Obispo Symphony. The season finale concert is at the Performing Arts Center on the Cal Poly campus this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock. And it is the last of the concerts whereby we have a conductor auditioning for the new position of music director of the San Luis Obispo Symphony. Ray, tell me about your job as a programmer. How do you choose what an orchestra might play?
Wow, that's a great question. And again, I have to say, I have to get to know the orchestra better. I have to get to know the community, because sometimes you program things and maybe the community might not respond as well as you might think, you know, in another location and another orchestra. So I try and gear my programs towards, you know, what does this orchestra need? What does the community need? And just do some research about what the past programs have been like. Also, I'd really like to take a survey from the orchestra. Where do they think that they need to go musically? What kinds of music would they like to approach and to see programmed? Sometimes it's about just introducing a piece from the podium, and I feel very comfortable doing that and tell the audience, this is a, you know, Canadian female composer that's just up and coming. She lives in California now, and we're going to premiere her piece, and we're just so excited. Maybe she can come to the concert, you know, and get to know the community as well. That's another way, getting to know the composer. You know, if the composer can do lectures and presentations throughout the week, like interviews like this is fantastic to get to know the artist and the composer. I mean, how often do we get to know, you know, Beethoven, right? I mean, what if we were able to interview him right now? Wouldn't that be exciting to sit with the composer and say, what an incredible piece. We're going to perform it this Saturday evening. You know, let's ask her questions about this piece.
Mm-hmm. So the program this weekend is kind of typical in some ways. It has an overture, a concerto, and a symphony, but it's atypical in other ways. And one way is that you're doing a sort of what's being called a test performance of the new edition of George Gershwin's Concerto in F for piano. So what makes it different? And tell me a little bit about this new version.
Sure. Well, this piece was written in 1925. A lot of composers, and not just Gershwin, would give the manuscript to the publisher, and the publisher might misread a couple of phrasings or notations or notes, or, you know, was that scribble an E flat or an E natural, you know, those sort of things. And so we have these wonderful editors who have the actual manuscripts that Gershwin submitted to his publisher, and they are correcting all the mistakes that the earlier publishers made. And this is the critical edition now. So I'm really excited that we'll be able to premiere this new critical edition. Very, very thrilled to have the editor and the publishers here this weekend. And we get to ask them questions if there are discrepancies, again, even in the parts to their, you know, critical edition.
And the soloist is a young man named G. David Hamilton, can you give me a little bit of background about G?
I give you a little bit of background. A remarkable pianist, a young man. He was actually recently in an Android commercial. He is an accomplished pianist. He has an interesting perspective for a young man on music and how it can affect some of the newer generations and the importance of music to the new generations. I think I heard him reference once almost a renaissance with respect to the younger generation and their appreciation for music and how we need to make sure that they're exposed to this type of music, to this genre of music, and if they're given that opportunity, how greedily they will grab at it because they understand that they're inquisitive. That seems to be his approach to music. And he just doesn't play classical music as well. He seems extremely rounded in his musical experience.
Mm-hmm. Ray, tell me about the feelings that the Gershwin Piano Concerto evokes.
Oh, it's, you know, it's got jazz idioms, it's got Charleston dancing. I think of this piece as Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. The orchestra is Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers is the soloist. And there's this constant interplay of melody and playing back and forth. And it's like we're dancing together the whole time. And so it's just a really fun, exciting piece.
And so you have another American composer, Aaron Copland.
That's right.
As the opening piece, the outdoor overture. That's a very American sounding piece, isn't it? And
yes.
It's just, well, all Copland is, I guess, almost. but it's very energetic. Tell me a little bit about the Copland Outdoor Overture.
Well, it's so funny because I've conducted this piece many times outdoors, and this is the first time I'm doing it indoors. But it was written for a high school band, and so it's very accessible melodically, and it's not too difficult to play, but it's got so many different elements in it, too. There's a wonderful trumpet solo, but it's almost simplistic and exciting at the same time.
And to contrast the two Americans, you have Tchaikovsky to round out the concert with the big fourth symphony in F minor, a serious piece, but full of gorgeous melody.
Yes. And this is the fate motive that opens up this fourth symphony. And what I thought was so fitting was that you opened the season with Beethoven's fifth symphony. The fate motives, right? Da 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 dum. And then we end the season with Tchaikovsky's fate motive, you know. Dun, da da dun, 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 you know. This is a terrible time in Tchaikovsky's life. He's struggling with so many personal issues, and he's like, I'm going to put it down on paper. And this is this terrible motive from the brass. The horns play this incredibly powerful motive, and he turns it around by the fourth movement.
Thank you.
he's like, I'm not going to let this, you know, to overtake me. Let's triumph over this fate. And so we end the concert with this triumphant fourth movement. It's just an incredible journey, this piece.
Going to be a very exciting concert, I know. And it's coming up this Saturday at the Performing Arts Center on the Cal Poly campus, the San Luis Obispo Symphony Season Finale Concert, 8 o'clock at the PAC. Ray Hotoda, a music director candidate, will be conducting. And I've been talking with her and David Hamilton, who's the president-elect of the symphony's board and also the head of the search committee for a brand new music director for the San Luis Obispo Symphony. David, tell me a little bit about what we can expect in the near future from the symphony besides this season concert finale.
Well, musically, obviously, the following week is the Youth Symphony season finale, and I think that's the 13th, and I really encourage anybody who has the time to go, please go watch that. It is fantastic to watch these kids and how well they play. The Paderewski 4th of July event at the Horse Park up at Paso Robles is going to be on the calendar, where the Slow Symphony will be playing at that, and that should be a fun event as well.
Okay, great. So slowsymphony.org for more details and tickets and information about all of the conductor candidates. Everything that you
That's
want
right.
to know is there. Thank you so much, David Hamilton and Ray Hotoda.
Thank you.
For Issues and Ideas, I'm Marisa Waddell.